This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, beautiful people.
Hi, friends.
Welcome to the Plans, Hope, and a podcast. Plans Open a Future podcast.
Who even knows? We took a 2-week break. We forget our podcast name. Oh my god!
That was so funny. Oh my gosh! It was like, okay, blah blah blah. What's going on? Plans, Hope, and a Future. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Please don't leave because of that. We are so glad you joined us. We have a very interesting topic tonight. And it's kind of like any and all of your questions about Woman Camp. If you are in the Cincinnati area, know anything about Crossroads Church, we are here to talk to you about some of that. So sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. At least from our experience.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. So we can only filter it through that, but yeah, tell them a little bit about what we did this past weekend.
Oh my goodness, it was so good. First off, let me just say we missed you. We were gone a couple weeks and we're so sorry. I know you guys are emailing us and blowing us up saying, "Where have you been?" We are back. We are back. So exciting stuff. Woman Camp was amazing. I'm not really sure. I wish I could put into words why every time I step on that land, I see miracles and I see faith that can move mountains in a way that doesn't happen in like the rest of the world for the most part. But as I was kind of processing it and, overlooking, first of all, there was 1500 women who attended this past weekend, and to see 1500 women under a tent worshiping our Lord and Savior is unlike anything you could ever imagine.
And there were women from all over the country. I think as far away from as California, I think it was the furthest state.
And Puerto Rico.
Oh, and Puerto Rico. Yeah, that's right. So yeah.
Like people were flying in for this camp.
Yeah.
To camp outside with portalettes.
So for those of you who don't know anything about Woman Camp, there is no running water. There are no showers. It's, I don't know how many hundreds of acres it is in Neville, Ohio. It is beautiful land. And you know, going in, it's not a surprise, but you do know going in that there are no showers, that baby wipes are your friend.
Yep.
That
hand sanitizer.
Correct. It sounds kind of weird and it sounds like, ugh, but it really is like, that is such a secondary concern to the awesome and big things that God does that.
Amen.
It's like a light and momentary affliction, if you will. But yeah, you have portalettes as well. And sometimes the portalettes start getting full towards the end of the camp. But like I said, you kind of don't notice all that stuff. You truly don't.
Right. Right. And that's coming from like I'm a super girly girl and it's worth it. All of it's worth it.
Yeah, folks, let me just tell you what she says. She's a super girly girl. What she actually means, she brought her caboodle,
friends,
a true legit caboodle with her makeup, and she'd get up in the morning and apply her makeup, and she had on her dresses and her big earrings and her dreads. She had her dread extensions in, blonde dreads. It was so you were gorgeous, but you were not what I would consider to be a traditional camper. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there.
But I did it in style. I did it my way, you know?
That's right. Amen. You did it your way.
Yeah.
I hear Frank Sinatra in there somewhere.
I had shorts under my dress, so I was, like, still super sporty. Like, I could get down with everyone because I had shorts under my dress.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's what's so cool about it, though. Like, you really can just show up and do it your way. If you want to wear makeup, great. If not, don't feel bad. Like, why? Like, don't.
That was me. I did not wear a stitch of makeup because, and I love makeup. Like, I don't wear makeup out of vanity. I just really like it. You
I
know what
know,
I
it's
mean? I
fun.
do. And
Yes.
it's just one of my favorite things. So yeah, no makeup, dressed down. Yeah, it was just so good. And we went there because Tiffany was the head of a prayer team. So there was 70 of us total that prayed. Tiffany had the largest prayer team, and there was 13 of us. And so she was our campsite mama, I think they were calling you.
Campsite mom, represent.
But you did take care of us, I have to say. Made sure we had coffee and hot water and the whole thing. You did that so well.
Thank
I'm
you.
applauding you. You did such a great job. But
Momming's kind of my thing.
yep, and you did great, and I felt loved and adored, and so did everybody else, and taken care of. But our mission and our purpose was to pray.
Yes, we were on the prayer team. So we had a unique perspective because we really had some God-ordained appointments. But I wanted to step back before we enter the prayer tent, if you will, because I left off 1,500 women underneath this giant tent worshiping our Lord and Savior. And I was kind of like just processing God, like, why, God, do we not have these experiences outside of camp? Like, why is that not a thing? Why is this not a, why don't we see miracles and all these things all the time? Because I really believe that our faith can move mountain, like just a mustard seed. And I felt like God was showing me, like, maybe this is what a mustard seed of faith looks like. And because we were all like in it as a community together, building each other's faith, you know, like, so it would, I mean, you could not have faith on that land. Like, I don't know if anyone walked away with this weekend without any ounce of faith. You know, we, half of the people there, it was their first time. So we knew going into it, like 800 women. They had never been to this women camp before. So that in itself was really cool. Every single time women show up that have never accepted Jesus into their heart and have never said the salvation prayer. And it blows me away. And one of my giftings is I'm very simple. And that's good. It's really good because I'm very dependent on the Lord and Jesus. And I know without Jesus, then we have nothing because we're a hot mess without him, right?
Right.
So that's always going to be when someone sits down in the prayer tent and we start talking, that's the first thing I want to know. Do you know Jesus? And a lot of these women, what all the women before they came in, they received a card and wrote their name down, wrote if they had a relationship or checked if they had a relationship with Jesus, and then checked some other things like this is what I want prayer for, you know, and so on. Even if they checked yes, even if I asked them again, because there was some confusion that I've noticed in the past. That sometimes they're like, well, yeah, my parents baptized me as a baby, as a Catholic. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. These people have never decided to ask Jesus into their lives and Jesus in their hearts. They thought their parents did it for them. And they really believe that. And, you know, it's our own faith journey. So I think my first four people, I was praying with another sweet gal, dear friend of mine, Kate. First four people, we walked to Jesus. It was unreal. I mean, it blows me away every time that non-believers show up to a church camp.
Yep.
Every single time, I'm like, are you serious? And they're very open to it. I didn't have to force them or twist their arm. They're like, well, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah,
You
they were ready and open for
Yeah.
someone to ask them.
Yeah. And so it just blew me away. But the real thing that was just so surprising was just all the God-ordained appointments that sat in front of me. And I'm sure Jen has story after story.
Oh boy, do I have some stories to tell you?
Oh my goodness. And obviously, we are not going to share any names because these are very personal stories. I don't even remember most of the names.
I don't either, honestly, and I
But
think that's good.
yeah, their stories are so heavy on my heart. And I will share a quick story. It was one of the most amazing moments of the weekend. There were so many, so I can't say the most amazing, but a young lady sat down. Well, backtrack. She was standing in line for a very long time. Sometimes the lines get up to like an hour. People are waiting to get in the prayer tent. It's unbelievable that someone would wait an hour for prayer. Like, that's amazing. Praise God. So she filled out her card and she wrote that she had had an abortion. And so I went to greet her and I went to grab the card from her. And she pulled back and she didn't want to give me that darn card. And I sat down with her. She did end up giving me the card. And I sat down with her and I just exhaled and read the card and I was like, oh. And so we talked and was a beautiful woman of faith. And I was just blown away by her story and was this beautiful mother who loved and nurtured her children. But there was a time in her life where she made the best decision she thought that she could possibly make for everyone involved. And she went ahead and had an abortion. And now, of course, that doesn't line up with what I believe. And it didn't line up with what she believed. And so she was carrying guilt and shame forever. And she had never told anyone about it other than her husband.
Oh, wow.
So we went through it. And I mean, I was just blown away by her courage. But all I had done at that point was read it on the card. She had still not said it out loud. So we challenged her and gave her some time, and gave her the opportunity to say it out loud to some safe people, because I believe her story is going to give a voice to so many women who have also made that decision, who have been silenced in the church. So I wanted to give her the opportunity to say it in a safe place for the first time. So after a few minutes, and I mean, she waited. She said it to the both of us. And of course, I loved her and I didn't judge her. But that was so cool because if that would have been a few years back, I don't know that I would have been a safe place. And that was like the big God moment was I was sitting in front of her and God had done so much healing in my life that I really was able to be a safe place for her and to receive all of that without judgment towards her. But nothing but love. I loved her like the Father. And it was so like that part of it is what blown me away. Of course, her story was amazing. And I have no doubt that woman is really going to shift so many people's lives and take them out of the pits of shame and guilt. But that I was able to be a safe place. Finally, am I always that 100% of the time? Absolutely not. I'm a hot mess. But man, those are those marker moments that Jen and I talk about all the time. Like, we're like, are we really even getting anywhere, God? Well, that was a marker moment. Yes, I'm getting somewhere. Yes, I have done a heck of a lot of growth that I could sit there and hear her and just love her with no condemnation. Nothing like, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. None of that. It was all love and it was all completely from my heart. It was not forced. There was no judgment. And it was so like, it was just a wink from God, like, you know, like, you're a safe place. Like, I'm the safe place. Praise Jesus. So that was obviously through my perspective. She has a whole different perspective because of everything that the darkness she let out. And oh my gosh, I can't imagine like the weights that were lifted from her that weekend because we encouraged her like to start sharing her story. And we wanted to be the first. As far as because, as we tell you all the time, there's going to be some people who are not safe places. And so we wanted to show her what a safe place looked like. And pray that as she's going out and sharing her story, that people would be safe places too. And that anything that wasn't safe would just fall off of her and not stop her from sharing and all that good stuff. So I'll let you go, but that was a big one for me. Really built my faith, really encouraged me.
That is awesome. That really is awesome. I just think about the fact that I was amazed in the same way in which I could feel the spiritual growth that I've had. And when the first time pre-COVID that I went to women camp and prayed, very sincerely, very lovingly, but things stuck to me differently than this time. Not that stories were any less heavy, but I don't know. I was just in a different spot. And yeah, so for me, my big story out of all of this is I told God, no matter what you tell me to say, whatever image you give me, I'm going to share that with whoever. And I'm going to be brave and I'm going to just spit it out no matter what it is. And I'm just going to, by faith, believe that you're telling me the things to say. And so what I did was every time somebody would come up to get prayer, I would just pause. And let me backtrack this way. I was with somebody that was brand new to a woman camp also with praying. So I was just like, do you want me to be the one to lead on this? She was like, yeah, you go ahead and lead and I'll scribe. We had somebody that was writing on a sheet of paper, which I thought this was brilliant. Just the takeaways that we would give to the people when they would leave. So, because when you're in the moment, when someone's praying for you and you're emotionally heightened, you don't remember all the words. You remember how you feel. You remember the deliverance parts of whatever may or may not happen. But you don't remember all the exact details. So having someone actually write those details down to hand you a card when you're done, brilliant. It was brilliant. So anyway, so she said she would scribe and I said I would pray. And again, I said to God, whatever you give me, whatever you speak to me, whatever images you give me, whatever, I'm just gonna by faith, I'm gonna walk into that. Whoo, boy, that's a big prayer because I would get some very random images, but of all the people that I prayed for, there was only like two that said like, oh no, that didn't really doesn't resonate with me. And I would get stuff like one time I was, you know, we were listening to a lady give her story, and the whole time she's talking, I hear in my head pizza, pizza, and I'm thinking, okay, God, I said I was gonna just by faith step out and share that, and so. When she was done sharing her story, I said to her, you know, sometimes God speaks to me in images. This may not resonate with you. And if it doesn't, there is zero pressure. And if it doesn't resonate with you, don't try to conjure up a meaning. Like, this is either for you or it's not. I said, but I keep hearing the word pizza. And does that mean anything to you? And she goes, it does. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what are you going to do here, God? And she said that her and her husband were, you know, working to foster to adopt. And the boy that they have, like, he invites the neighborhood children into their home and they're, you know, wanting to make it a safe place and a welcoming place. And they usually just serve them pizza. So they've been like really praying through this foster to adopt and how to like love this boy. And they've been doing it through this pizza to the neighborhood. And it was just like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. God got you there. And then another time I went to pray and I was just like, I kept hearing the word beige. And I said to the lady, like, I keep hearing the word beige. And she's like, beige. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know what that's about other than beige is a very plain color. And it is the opposite of like a rainbow of color. And she's like, yeah, I used to really love color and I haven't been able to be my authentic self. And I've really been wrestling through that. And so what you're saying to me really resonates and makes sense. And I said, well, I feel like God wants you to be your authentic self and he wants you to find color again. So it was just really random stuff. Another time I got the word pool table and that one was a pretty heavy one. Another time I got the word baby and that was lots of tears and wasn't even what they sit down to get prayer for. So it was just, it was an and in both. They were getting something from God and I was stepping out in faith.
Yeah.
Seeing that the images I was getting was for a purpose and a reason. And almost every single time it was. And it wasn't like they really had to think about it. I mean, the beige one, she was like, beige? And then she was like, oh, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, I, you know, like what I just said. So,
yeah.
But like the pool table one was really beautiful in that this particular person was sitting there sharing something completely different. And I just said, you know, the same thing. I feel like God sometimes speaks to me in images. And when you're talking, I see a pool table that's racked up and ready to, you know, have the balls broken. And does that mean anything to you? And she said, yeah, it really does. My grandfather, who is not saved, who is dying from cancer, who just has hated the family, you know, he's dying from cancer and he has a pool table in his basement. And my fondest memories with him was of him teaching me to play pool. And I've been wrestling with whether I should go and talk to him or not. And I said, well, I believe that that's God telling you, yes, you should talk to him. Whatever. I said, you don't have to be the outcomer of that conversation, but yeah, I think that might be something you need to pray about and see if that's where God is leading you to go. She'd already been thinking about it, but I mean, just weird, like, well, not weird, but just things for me that were very unexpected.
Yeah.
And there was so much, and we heard this from so many people on the prayer team when we debriefed, that there were, for me, there were so many people that had went through childhood trauma and sexual abuse. And
yes.
That's been my story. So it was very, I don't want to say coincidental, but it was very God ordained that those particular people came and talked to me and I would be like, well, have you been in counseling? Have you ever thought about that? And I was able to speak to them in a way that I felt like helped them see themselves a little clearer without shame. So I watched God do some wonderful freeing things. And then the baptism of 88 people that we got to help with was mind blowing. Watching people run down there. Yes, baptize me, baptize me.
It's unbelievable.
Lady. Yeah, it was awesome.
And to set the scene, this water's disgusting.
Yeah, folks, it's green with, I don't know if it's mold, but
like
yeah,
algae.
Yes.
Looking like I was moving out of the way because I had the privilege to baptize some people and, you know, I was just like moving it out of the way because it's like floating there on the surface. But to see 1,500 women surround this body of water and for the spirit to be so thick that people are running towards this not beautiful looking body of water to proclaim their faith in front of everyone and to welcome Jesus into their heart and become a new creation. It's you just can't even imagine what that would look like. It's unbelievable and just brings me to tears every time.
It reminded me of John the Baptist. I said in my head as I'm handing towels to ladies as they're coming out of the pond, like this had to be what John the Baptist experienced when there were people just running to get baptized.
Amen.
And just for context too, folks, like we started with two people doing the baptizing.
Yeah.
And then it went to four people doing the baptizing. It went to six. And then eventually it was eight. It was eight ladies baptizing because they were trying so hard to keep up with the demand to be baptized. Now, really think about that.
Praise God.
The demand to be baptized. I hadn't seen anything like that because they were lined up the hill because the pond sits down at kind of like a low point where, you know, there's just hills on like three sides of it. And so they were coming down the hill. They were lined all the way up. And, you know, they had other people coming with them to support them. So there were so many that would go into the water with their friends or their mothers or their daughters just to either help baptize them into the kingdom or to be a witness with them in the water as they went down in death and they raised up in a new creation in Christ. It was,
praise God.
Mind-blowing and beautiful. That whole weekend, I mean, one of the best spiritual experiences I've had in my life in a long time.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It was awe-inspiring. It was very humbling to let to see God work through like this very imperfect body that I am, this very imperfect person that I am. And others that I know are imperfect and watch God move time after time after time.
Mm-hmm.
And then just all of those baptisms. It was so beautiful. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh my gosh. And I just have to say, Jen, I was so overwhelmed standing in that water. Three of the people that Kate and I prayed for, and we walked them to Jesus, came down in that water and asked for me to baptize them.
Yeah.
And it was like, who gets to do that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I wish Jen's so much better at words than I am, but I really wish we could paint like the most beautiful picture right now to describe what we saw, what we experienced this weekend. It's just like, what's the words for, Jen? Like, how do you like paint that in a picture? Like, how do you describe how thick the Lord was when we don't get to experience that in the real world? Or how do you describe how thick the Holy Spirit moves? You know,
it was like, I honestly, I don't have all the complete words, but just the things that overall with that weekend, the women were hungry. Like I hadn't seen such a hungry group of ladies lined up for, like you said, for over an hour, sometimes waiting for the prayer tent, just to be able to get prayer.
Yeah.
To come with a card. The card at the beginning said, I want to be set free from bitterness, control, anger. I don't remember. Fear. Yep. And then I want to receive the gift of joy and peace and love. And they, you know, just to be able to present their card to somebody and have to share some very gut-wrenching things.
Yeah.
I mean, some painful gut-wrenching things. And to know them being there was not an accident.
Yeah.
God ordained it for that moment, for their freedom, that he wanted to take them to a place of life, and then to watch that move into them dying and going down into the water and rising up a new creation in Christ. It just, I don't know. I don't, I mean, for all my wordsmithing that I do all the time, I do not have the words for that other than to say it was profound.
Yeah. And Sunday morning, we didn't open the prayer tent up until 7:30. And people start lining up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, to make sure they
those people are going to get their healing, Jen. Like, those are the people that don't take no for an answer. They're going to get it. Their expectations of the Lord are so big, and he's going to do it for them. You know, like, he really is. So another thing I felt like was highlighted when you were talking just was the word move. And I had some like hard shell women who sat down in front of me, even after waiting in that line and wanting to ask for a prayer. But, you know, they always, as moms and wives and all the things, they're always on. So to sit there and not be that way was a really big challenge for them. And to see God really like transform them right in front of my eyes, soften their heart. Bring the emotion, allow them to like feel and like marinate and feel his presence. Like, that was the move of the Spirit. Like, I saw so many women who just turned from a hard shell to this right in front of my eyes, like this soft, gooey puddle of tears, you know, like, it was so beautiful. And I know they probably didn't experience all of that as beautiful because they're just like, go, 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 so on. But like, God was waiting for them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's hand this over together, shall we? You know, like,
Do you know what's so beautiful about all that thing, all of that too?
Yeah.
There's a scripture. I wish I had the reference. I'll have to look it up before I edit this and post it on out for the release. There's a scripture that says he devises an answer before we even call. And so for that prayer tent was a devised, planned for answer to some women that came to that camp and did not even know that they were going to be standing in line to get prayer, to ask for prayer. And God had already prepared the moment. And what he only needed from them was to step out. That's all, you know.
And that's what we're always praying for all of you and talking to you about, is that next step. It really is as simple as that, like walking into a prayer tent.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're talking about. When we say next step, God meets you there. And we saw it time and time again, God meeting these women there just because they took that next step. So I will preach that until my last breath. Take that next step. God is there and he is faithful.
I'm telling you.
It was so good.
I'm
friends with three of the people I interacted with on the prayer, or like in the prayer tent. I'm friends with them on Facebook now. Three of them.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. It was just so like God ordained. Like, we're supposed to be best friends. And, you know, like, I have a lot of friends, Jen knows, but really I only have a few like tight, really close friends, Jen being one of them. But as Jen hears me all the time, everyone's my bestie, you know, because I just have a lot of friends. Like,
that's so true. You
know, I'm a bridge of a person. Like, I'm a connector. I connect.
That's true.
People. Like, that's very, you know, true. So I know a lot of people, and I really do adore and love them all. But are they like people that I'm going to call at 3 a.m. to deal with a certain situation? No, they're not. But I just adore them. So they're my bestie in that moment. So I have some new besties from the weekend.
Oh, that's so funny. I love it. That's so cool. It reminds me of one of the people that you had said there were three people that you prayed for that you got to baptize. While I wasn't in the water baptizing, I was handing towels, but I was helping direct the people down the line from the hill. And the one lady that I talked to about beige. She was in the line, and I said, oh, you're getting baptized. How great. And hugged her. And I was so excited. And she was so excited. And for her, it was a recommitment baptism. And I was just very excited for her. So what an honor to get to witness that. Like,
unbelievable.
I'm not worthy of something like that. So it was just quite an honor to be able to see it, to be there for Crossroads Church to make that space.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yep.
Thank you, Crossroads. And like we said at the beginning, and it probably makes more sense now that you've heard some of these stories, to not have running water, to have to use wet wipes to kind of clean yourself up. So okay.
Yep.
So worth it. Such a nothing thing to endure, to watch the move of God moving in the painful places that women have experienced, that they have kept secret and to themselves in such a way that it has become shame. It's been like boulders on their back. And God delivers them. To not have a shower is nothing. It's not even nothing. Less than nothing.
Yeah. I could have went for another day. That was good.
Yeah. It could have. And I would have done it. I totally would have done it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
Well, friends, I hope we help build your faith a little bit today. I know the power of testimony is big for Jen and I. Every time I hear a story about what God does and his miracle works, my faith gets built. So that was just the intention today, just to share some God stories with you, because he was on the move and Jen and I got to witness it this weekend.
Yeah. Incredible. It helped me understand in even a deeper way God's good intentions for folks that need only ask him. He is a good father who wants deliverance and freedom for his sons and daughters that have not realized that God wants their freedom, but he does. And to watch him work and move and only in ways that only he could do, the best. It was the best.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of a sweet note to end on. I could keep gushing about this. You know what I mean? Like, I could just keep going, like, God, you're so good. And
until next year, we'll do it again next year.
Ooh, we should podcast from there. Wouldn't that be fun? I might find a way to get that. I know. Wouldn't that be cool to sit down with some people like on the prayer team and say, hey, let's talk about some stories before we break?
Yeah, we have some free time.
I have to figure that little bad boy out. Or we should even have maybe some prayer team members that we served with to come on, share their experiences at some point. Who knows? We'll figure that out.
Yeah. All the detail schmetails, as we like to say around here.
That's right. All right, folks, we love you so much. Thank you for joining us again. And we will see you next time.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2023, Parable Road, LLC.